America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and filling in for Michael Dean, this is Lusander Fien. Michael has lost internet tonight. It is believed that there is a predator drone flying over Beast Lick, Wyoming, and it's looking for MWDs and windowless bunkers. And with me tonight, we have Nikki Darling, who's one of the other rotating co-hosts, one of the other hamsters rotating on a spit. How are you doing, Nikki?
I am excellent. How are you doing?
Oh, just peachy. Got a little bit of a surprise phone call a little bit after midnight my time, and now here we are.
Oh, I got the same surprise phone call.
So, what were you going to be doing tonight if you weren't co-hosting Michael Dean After Dark?
Well, I've been editing photos all day, and I was going to continue until I passed out on my keyboard, which is what I do some nights. But what I wanted to say was it's really ironic that his internet went down because mine went down for 4 hours today.
Mine hasn't gone down in quite a while. Usually it would go down at this time of night and just mess everything up because I'm a little bit more of a night owl. But you sound very good. What microphone are you using?
What is this microphone called again? The Audio Technica. It's, I'm not sure the model number, but it's amazing. And it has a blue light and I have a big green, cover on it.
The Audio Technica 2005 USB.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Now, do you have the libertarian version where you have to put a pre-1965 dime in it to be able to talk?
No, I do not. Do you?
Actually, I do. I do. You know, I was really mad at Michael for sending me the libertarian version where you have to put a pre-1965 dime into it. But, you know, I put like a regular dime and I kicked it out and says, we do not accept subway tokens. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do the show tonight. And then I got fortunate because some of the folks from Keene, New Hampshire came by and they Robin Hooded my microphone.
That is fantastic. I didn't know that they used real silver coins, though. I mean, that's kind of giving away a lot right there.
Well, it is a libertarian microphone. It's probably old school libertarian. If it was new school libertarian, you'd have to put bitcoins into the side of it.
Yeah, but it's hard to get a hold of those physical bitcoins.
Oh, I don't know. You talk to any TSA agent, I'm sure they'll be able to sell you some black market ones. I'm sure they've shaken down Davi every single time he's gone through the airport over the past couple months.
I think he's smart enough not to travel with physical bitcoins, but they might have taken his iPod or his iPhone and said, ah, I've got your bitcoins now.
Yeah.
No, not really. They don't know any better.
Or his jewelry, medications, whatever. And for those that aren't familiar with the reference to the putting a dime in the side of the microphone, that comes from an article in the New Yorker where they talk about the Libertarian Police Department. We're going to get into that in a little while. We are taking phone calls tonight. So if you are afflicted with MDADHD, Michael Dean After Dark Hamster Disorder, give us a call. We're unlicensed therapists that are completely unable to help you out, but we'll listen. And the call-in number is 1-855-660-4261. Once again, that's 1-855-660-4261. Give us a call and tell us about what the hamster in your brain is doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I imagine that Michael Dean After Dark Hamster Disorder, MDADHD, will be published in the DSM-6. That should be coming out anytime now.
Oh, eventually. I mean, it's one of those, probably those disobedient disorders. They're going to give every kid medicine for it.
Yeah, you know that thing costs several hundred dollars to order a physical copy?
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I bet a lot of doctors have old ones because they can't afford to get new ones.
Actually, you can find it online. If you're a mental health provider, there may be a special link that you go to, or it might just be on like a BitTorrent or something like that, and you can download your own copy of it.
I'm going to have to check into that. That would be interesting.
Yeah, it's in one of my old emails from work. So
I was able to torrent a copy of one of the law dictionaries. That was great. It's great to have on my Kindle.
How long is that thing?
600, 800 pages.
That must be a very old law book.
Yeah, but I haven't read it all yet. I just put it on my Kindle as part of my reading list. I've got so much to read, and I can never find time to read. What was the last book you read?
I'm trying to think. I usually go through a lot of different things at one time. I downloaded a PDF of Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson because it's always important to go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that on my tablet, and I think I may have deleted it. I don't know.
Yeah, I need to get in on some book club. I think there is a Liberty Book Club run by somebody in Utah and Salt Lake City, and every month they have different recommended books to read.
Okay. Are you familiar with Laissez-Faire Books?
Is that a book company?
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Tucker's thing.
Okay.
It's basically a, $200 a year membership, and they just have tons and tons and tons of books that are available online, and you can go through all of them. And it's really a solid model with how they do things, because they have these books online. You download them to your chromed robot turd and, just have at it. Read away.
That sounds great. It's kind of like Netflix almost for books.
That's exactly what it is. It's Netflix for books.
That would be a great gift for my boyfriend for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, probably would. Which does he celebrate, or are you guys greedy and celebrate all the holidays?
We don't really celebrate at all, but we do give each other gifts once in a while, and it may be around the holidays because that's when our families are giving gifts, so we do that together, but we're not big on that. No tree or decorations or extravagance, which is fine if everyone else is. We just don't participate.
Okay. Where are you broadcasting live and worldwide from tonight?
Well, I try not to talk about it, but I am on the east, this mid-Atlantic East Coast area in what I like to call Mordor.
Okay, so you have the Eye of Sauron in the background.
Yeah,
as you look out your window.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it blinks red. It blinks good night.
Okay, and I am broadcasting live and worldwide from the windowless city deep in the heart of enemy-occupied territory in the failed state project known as Detroit.
Nice.
Have you been to Detroit?
I have not, but I actually really would like to go sometime.
Okay, and will you be coming out here to Liberty Fest in August?
See, I've thought about it, and if I can convince the boyfriend, maybe, but he's already taking time off work for Porkfest, and I think I need to introduce him to the Liberty community via Porkfest first.
Okay. Yeah, and Michael Dean is going out to Porkfest. He's actually leaving his windowless bunker for the first time in probably 7 or 8 years. He's going to go outside and get sunlight and maybe get a suntan.
Yeah, are you going to go?
Actually, I am.
Yay, cool.
This will be my first Pork Fest.
Oh, you're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so right now I'm trying to put together contacts of who I'm going to go out there, share a campsite with, and just all the stuff that goes along with it.
Is it just you that needs space on a site?
Well, right now it's me and one other person. Hmm. One of our friends is about 80% sure that she's going to go, but I don't know if she'll be there for the whole time. And there's probably a couple other people that my buddy Tom knows that might be going. And so we'll probably get a site and split it up that way.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know how big the sites are, though, for like in the tenting area.
Well, there's two. There's the RV sites, and then there are the campsites. And the RV sites are long and kind of narrow. And then the camping sites are actually quite large. I don't know. I'll be in the RV area, which is Agoura Valley.
Okay. I'll be in the tenting area, which is...
It's up a hill, and it's quieter there. It's more peaceful.
Okay, that'll work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got single sites and they've got double sites. So I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to do, because if I go with the double site, I have to pay for it. If I pay for the double site, I'm going to have to, you know, spring for the whole thing and then collect money later. And
yeah.
I could do it, but I don't want to be out of pocket for a while.
Yeah, or I mean, you can find people there who might need a last minute site, but that could be a pain.
Yeah. Yeah. For my first time, I don't want to throw caution entirely to the wind.
Yeah.
But if you get up here for Liberty Fest this August, I think you'll be able to check out some of that urban gardening that you were interested in.
Yeah, I would really like to. Maybe I can come up there by myself. I'm not sure how long the drive will be, but I love driving. So are dogs allowed?
I'm pretty sure that they are. It is a private campground. And if you want more information... Okay. If you come up here, you should be able to bring your dog. It's a private campground, and I don't think that they have any prohibitions on dogs coming in.
Okay.
So, yeah, it should be a good time. And if you want more information on the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, you can go to miplc.org. That's Mike, India, Papa, Lima, Charlie.org. And we have a caller on the line, but we're going to get to him when we come back from the market, because we'll be going there in just a few seconds. But yeah, Liberty Fest is going to be a good thing. And it's a really good introduction to Liberty, because it's not as big in Wild as Pork Fest is. There's not as many events going on. It's mostly people just getting together, hanging out and having a good time and you know, just being Liberty folks.
Yeah, what are the gun laws like, though? Can you open carry?
I don't know what the private owner's policy is going to be on there. I know in the rules it says no illegal use of firearms.
Ah, okay.
So...
That probably is a no.
Yeah, Michigan is an open carry state. And we'll be right back once we come back from the market here. So you're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Worms.
Worms.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Back to Michael Dean After Dark. Michael Dean After Dark. Did I do that sexy voice properly, Nikki?
Kind of. You're getting the hang of it, though.
Yeah. Not usually used to throwing on the sexy voice. I have to practice. I have to listen to some Barry White albums and you know, maybe that'll help me out a little bit. I don't know. But
yeah, we do have a tinge of a Michigan accent.
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. Hey, let me ask you a question. Speaking of accents and dialects, what do you call Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, and all that other stuff out there in Mordor on the Potomac?
Oh, Coke, Pepsi, Diet Coke.
Okay, do you call it soda? Do you call it soda pop, pop?
Soda, but most people call anything brown and fizzy Coke.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. Out here in Michigan, everything is pop. And when I went in the Army, and you know, when you're in the Army, you got people from all over the place. You start talking about pop, and they're like, "You're going to have to take a drug test." What do you mean, pop?
Okay. Yeah, that's an Ohio thing too, I think, pop.
Yeah, Midwest. Mm-hmm. And I eventually wound up starting to say soda and getting with like the non-dialect language, non-local colloquialism. But anyway, we have a call from Montana. We have Milhouse on there. And Milhouse, are you there? Hi, Milhouse. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm having a sody pop and listening to this. This is the so is this the GC? This is the GCN swap meet show, right? The bulletin board community trade?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because I heard you all talking about selling bedding spaces at some hippie love fest up in New Hampshire. I wanted to say, if anybody wants to buy it, I've got the domain name jeffreytucker.bit, and I'll sell it for 1 million meow bits.
This is not Milhouse.
Yeah, I'm thinking that your name is not Milhouse, and
I'm Michael Dean, and this is proof of life that I'm in Gitmo, but it's okay. They're letting me have my phone privileges as long as I eat all my vegetables and pray towards Mordor on the Potomac 5 times a day.
How can we be sure it's you? And you're going to have to do something that's very signature. Where are you broadcasting from?
A windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America.
Actually, I think you're broadcasting from a windowless cell down in the Caribbean. Have you signed the social contract yet, Michael?
No, I bought my way out of it. I paid the border guards in Dogecoin.
Ooh, wow. What's the matter? You didn't have any pesos?
No, man. No. I think they take them at Taco Bell, though.
Some of the old devalued lira?
Yeah, but you know, if we get the right men in there in Congress, we can get back to the Constitution, and they won't take pesos anymore at Taco Bell, because it says in the Constitution they can't do that. It's near the back somewhere.
Article 8, Section 5.
Yeah, hey, you guys sound great. I mean, you sound like better than this show when I'm on it, and I think
that's
I should
not
just
true.
Quit now. No, I should just quit now and go, like, be an art dealer or something. No, you guys are good, man.
What do you do without the internet, though? You must just be beside yourself.
No, because, see, it's like a distributed network of fiends, and if I'm not on the radio, they can't stop me, man, because the show must go on, and we're just going to keep adding people and adding people until you guys are training people, and it's like Amway. It's going to be like a pyramid scheme of liberty.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. No, not a money pyramid scheme, but you guys are ready. I mean, I think that Lou should ask Nikki to be a regular co-host on his new show, The Lou Sander Show, and then you guys can both start shows, and we could just keep doing this until, like, everybody has a Liberty Talk radio show.
That'll be great. We really need to just spread it thick.
Yeah, man, I'm going to go back to listening. Thanks for, thank you for your service, y'all.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in from Montana, Milhouse. Okay. And we have another caller there. Yeah, we have Christopher from Michigan. Christopher, how are you doing?
Hey, Lou. Hey, doing all right. How's Lou and Nikki doing tonight?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, doing all right. I was surprised Michael dropped off the line so fast. Like, oh, no, can't be without his show. I was going to wait till the end of it. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Well, actually, we had the board op get rid of Michael because he was calling in on a phone and the audio quality was bad. We're going to go off to the market for a couple minutes. Christopher, hang on the line and we'll talk to you when we get back.
Sure thing.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
After Dark. This is Lusander Fien, and with me I have Nikki Darling.
Worms.
Michael is down in Guantanamo, and all Nikki and I got was a t-shirt and to host this show without him.
Woo!
So, do you believe that proof of life, or do you believe it was something that the lizard people conjured up to try and trick people into a false sense of security?
I don't know. After the day I've had, I don't really trust many people.
But you got to have a little bit of faith.
A little bit. I know I can trust my dogs.
Yeah, the dogs. Yeah. They're always good.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. People have this idea that humanity is evil, and I do have faith in my fellow man. I'm not one of these Hobbesians that believes that everybody is going out killing and plundering and pillaging and all this other stuff. I don't think that's the state of humanity. I don't think that's inherent in our DNA and other primordial goop.
No, it's not, but sometimes terrible things happen to good people and it takes your faith down a little bit.
Yeah, usually those things that happen to people are the state.
Yeah, or criminals. In my case, I had a criminal act done upon me today.
Really?
Yeah, if you'd like to know, I can tell you about it.
Yes, please share.
Well, I got a letter in the mail from Ally Bank saying to contact them as soon as possible. They've been trying to call me and couldn't get a hold of me. I called. It turns out somebody had opened 4 savings accounts in my name. And it turns out this is a crime that probably wouldn't exist if it weren't for the government, because it all revolves around tax refunds. And what these criminals do is they open up bank accounts in your name and then they file a fraudulent tax return in your name and claim you made like $500,000 or something so you can get like a massive tax return or how much money you need to make to get a lot of money back. And then they get it deposited into that bank account that they opened in your name, and then they clean out the bank account and you're left with a big dent on your credit. So I had to take care of that today, and I had to call a bunch of ABC agencies and work things out and file a complaint with the FTC and call the IRS and all the credit bureaus. It was quite a hassle.
Wow, that does sound like a hassle. And I imagine if they had been successful in pulling off their little scheme, if those darn kids hadn't foiled everything, you'd probably be in a nice little mess of trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So
for the record, everything is calm, cool, and you're not in the jackpot over anything, right?
No, well, hopefully not. I still haven't gotten a hold of the IRS because, shocker, they were closed at 5.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, most agencies, you can't really talk to anybody after 5. Sometimes they're on tax season, they extend their hours, but it's really hard to get a hold of somebody. You know, business hours are what, 8 to 5, 8 to 4, 9 to 5, sort of thing.
Well, that doesn't sound right, because tyranny never sleeps, it only rests its eyes.
Yeah, but they've got to send the worker bees home every day.
Well, I thought there were plenty of worker bees buzzing around that hive of poison honey. But let's go back to Christopher. Christopher, are you there?
Oh, yeah. The IRS.
Dang. Okay.
Some important date coming up soon, huh?
Yeah. Oh. What's the hamster in your brain telling you tonight? Because obviously you're hearing voices, and that's why you called into MDADHD support line. What's going on?
I think I got some ESP or something, so I heard someone talking about Pork Fest, and immediately the regrets that I won't be able to make it this year kind of kicked in. I was there two summers ago. It was a blast. Time of my life. But anyways, the reason I was calling in had something along to do with things like Port Fest, the upcoming Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which I will be at.
Sweet.
This year, since it's the second annual, I thought maybe I'd try to get some sort of little tent presentation going on, because it's kind of like a, definitely not a recreation of Port Fest by any means. It's blast, but it's much smaller, very low-key. But one thing I thought last year was missing was some more presentations. I got a couple of my buddies and I, former guys that were with the whole Zeitgeist movement type folks, and got some of them to come over to more of the free market approach of things and sort of understanding things like the non-aggression principle. And we sat down and we've been working over the past year here. We're thinking about doing some sort of bridging the gap type presentation there, trying to invite some of the more, I hate to use left-right paradigm, but lefty type government-free folks over to the ideas of a liberty and what we can do to work together, because I think we have a lot of common goals. But I was wondering out of you two, if you had any ideas on common talking points between those types of people and what us and what we consider the liberty community kind of have to offer.
Tell us what you think, Nikki.
Well, generally, I don't get along with those other kind of people. I try my best, but if they even get a whiff of me that maybe I'm a Ron Paul supporter or I was a Ron Paul supporter, that's it. They've had it. They don't talk to me anymore. But I do like to emphasize nonviolence, and that usually is a great stepping stone. Nonviolence, talking about not committing fraud on anybody, you know, theft, that sort of thing. And then you gradually have to bring it into how the state represents violence. But that's it's kind of gradual.
Yes, bring up the gun in the room. Let them see it.
Yeah, but I find when you used terms like that, like the gun in the room, or when you call jail cages, that irks people, especially in my family. So I try to not use those kind of terms.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more of the macho libertarian flash myself. I have absolutely no problem beating people over the head with words, especially when I'm pointing out how the state is beating them over the head with batons.
Okay. Does it work?
In some cases, it does. If somebody hears something, if somebody hears an idea, they generally do not adopt it immediately and say, oh, yes, this makes sense. Let me change my opinion. Let me change my entire belief system of what I've been indoctrinated to believe. So, yeah, no, I don't always violate the non-agitation principle, but I frequently do because I can get a little bit boisterous and a little bit macho libertarian flash and kind of go off on some things. But what I try to do is I try to find the common ground, like Christopher was talking about. If you're concerned about the poor being fed and the hungry being taken care of, and you're concerned that there's education, that's something that libertarians agree with the lefty statist and the right-wing statist also. Where we disagree is in our means of making that happen.
Exactly.
As an example, you take the welfare state. The progressive will say, I'm a progressive. My ideas are bold, fresh, and new. And there's nothing bold, fresh, and new about stealing a bunch of money from one person and giving it to another.
Yeah, but until you make them see that it is actual theft, they'll never listen to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you can do that in a couple of different ways. You can point out what the results have been. You can show them, you know, hey, the war on poverty has been going on since 1965. It was actually launched. They declared war on poverty. War were declared in 1963, and then the troops massed, and then they invaded in 1965, and now poverty is even worse.
Yeah. Well, Christopher, what would you do?
Oh, yeah. The non-aggression principle is always kind of the springboard for me, and I think once you can kind of start from that axiom, self-truth, that start from there, everything kind of spirals out, and I can work on all sorts of different topics. My big thing, big hang-up I have with them is it doesn't seem that they can understand the idea of the individual. I had a long conversation with one of the individuals that's actually going to help me do this this summer, back in August when we go to the festival. But his big hang-up is he keeps having that collective mentality, how since we're all reliant upon one another that we can possibly be independent from the whole, which I agree with. You know, we are social creatures. We can be separate and be our own little domain and not interact with anybody and seem to do relatively prosperous for ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think the emphasis needs to remain on the individual. And once that emphasis can be understood that individuals act, it's not the collective that acts. You can have an individual without a collective, but you can't have a collective without an individual. And I think you can kind of go from there. So I thought about bringing up topics, the non-aggression principle with them. The thing is, it's mostly a liberty-based audience. I guess I should phrase it in that sense. Since we're going to be at the Liberty Festival, it's going to be mostly a liberty-based audience. It's going to be me and another individual talking about how we can bridge the gap and reach out to these people. So that's, if you listen to what their concerns are, they're talking about, you know, the impoverished. So what can you do with the impoverished? What about the sick that can't defend to help themselves, like the mentally disabled, physically disabled, types of segments of society that get left behind and suffer while the rest of us can be prosperous? I think that's where they're trying to find a lot of common ground on with them, is that we have alternatives to the state system and being able to provide for these types of people. And so I was wondering what kind of, if you comment on what kind of systems can the free market propose for these less well-to-do people that can't take care of themselves?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I definitely believe that talking about solutions is so much better than just talking about the problems.
Christopher, let me ask you this. The area that you're in is not exactly the Ritz. You know, it's not exactly mansions all over the place and Lamborghinis and Bentleys and everything else, because you live in like regular America. And what are some of the things that you do personally as far as helping those that are less fortunate than you? And what are the examples that you set that one of these statists could say, you know, say, but it wouldn't happen unless the government pointed a gun at your head to make you help them out? How do you help people out without the gun to your head?
Well, two good examples, I suppose, would be here in, we're in Saginaw, Michigan, which is about 10 minutes from where I'm at, 10, 15 minutes. They have the East Side Soup Kitchen. That's always kind of tried and true, is just to show the volunteer man hours that they put forward. Because one of the things I try to illustrate is selfishness isn't just necessarily material gain, but there's a sort of psychic gain from helping individuals, and you know, I gain from doing that personally, and that is why I do it. Another good option would be, we have a free music festival that's put on here every year, and the proceeds of that go to some local charities as well as some of the larger ones for research funds. These are types of things that we do as a community. But what I really try to explore with them is some of the more economic ones that help people, because I think that when there is a self-reinforcing incentive outside of just the feel-good mentality of it, it makes whatever project is viable for the longer term. And so those are some of the things that we try to explore. We have a local meetup group here that talks about different initiatives we can do in the area that could be profitable yet still be helping the community. So that's kind of where I try to go with it.
Okay, we're heading off to the market for just a minute. Christopher, can you stick around for a little while longer?
Oh, yeah, I got another segment of me.
Okay, we'll be back with some more Michael Dean After Dark in just a minute.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
After Dark. This is not Michael Dean. This is Lou Sanderfine. And with me, I have my darling co-host, Nikki.
Hi.
Hi, Nikki.
Howdy.
Before we went to the market there, we were talking to Christopher, and we'll bring him back after the cuss dump builds up. We were talking about different ways to help folks out and bridge the gap between left and right and libertarian and the whole welfare state and how it's destroyed things and everything else. And one of the things that I consider to be a way of helping somebody, if you have somebody that's unemployed, you can peel off an Andrew Jackson or a Ben Franklin, and you can hand them that Federal Reserve note. But you know what really helps them out? Showing them how to write a resume.
Yeah.
Donating old clothes so that they have something presentable to interview in. If they don't have proper interview attire, you know, they're probably not going to get the job, especially if they're going for something to where you have to be presentable when you show up to fill out an application or to actually do the interview. You know, that's a way that people can help folks out, because that money disappears, but the knowledge that you give when you teach somebody how to write a resume, or you teach them how to go through a job interview, how to prepare for an interview, how to do research on a company, that's something that lasts forever.
Yeah, another thing you can also do is teach people how to work for themselves.
Yes. Self-employment. That way the only crazy boss you have to listen to is you and all your customers.
Yeah, and it's hard, but it can be done, and it's very rewarding.
So, Christopher, are you still there?
Still here, Lou.
Okay. So, finish up with your ideas and tell us how we can bridge the gap and stop destroying each other and actually solve some problems.
Well, I think the first thing is to realize that the people with whom we have contentions with on that particular side of the fence, they have 99%, well, I won't say 99%, but I'll give them 90% of what they want is something pretty similar to what we're looking for. We're just looking for folks to do better for themselves so we can all lift the betterment of our fellow brother, and that, this is one. If they do well, we do well, and vice versa. So if we can find what that common ground is, then we can just try to find what types of things that we both agree on that are working toward that end, that don't violate the non-aggression principle. I think once you can start identifying those particular solutions rather than problems, like what Nikki was suggesting, because I do think we focus too much on the problems, I think that's when you start winning over the same ideas. Even if they don't adopt the same ideals, I think they can be, you know, they can be a full-blown communist if they want to, just so long as they're still adhering to the non-aggression principle. I think we can find those types of solutions and work together on it. So that's about it. Hopefully I'll have more of a fleshed-out proposition come this August at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and you'll be able to check it out yourself, Lou.
When you engage in these conversations with folks, what has the response been?
It's been a mixed bag of tricks, really. I mean, I've had some actual real diehard folks that have been really indoctrinated into the idea of central planning that'll kind of lash out at me no matter how tolerant I am and how patient I am, because I am one who can adjust my argument as necessary, depending on who I'm trying to engage. But overwhelmingly, I think it's been a relatively positive approach, as long as I don't end up mentioning things like Ron Paul or use the terms free market. Or anything like that. I don't scare them off. I do think they're. I think the words they've been taught to shy away from those types of words, to take them as warning flags. But I can still convey the same exact meanings without using those words, and I seem to at least win them over into a dialogue.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, for me, it's been a mixed bag of tricks, also, because I know some people there, some hardcore state socialist types that just, you know, well, we have to make everybody equal in misery. And they look at the results and they see what has happened. They see that it hasn't worked, but they still have that cognitive dissonance. It's like, if only we could steal enough money from everybody, if only we could get back to the Constitution, you know, if only we could do this, if only we could do that. Now it just doesn't seem to work out so well.
No.
Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I'll
be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
L'estato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision.
We're not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Welcome back to Michael Dean After Dark. This is Lusander Fiend, and I'm filling in for Michael W. Dean, who is in Guantanamo right now, signing the social contract. There were black helicopters flying over Beast Lake, Wyoming, and they were shooting down rays that knocked out his internet, so he couldn't be here tonight, and you know, boom, here we are. They were looking for MWDs in windowless bunkers, and apparently they found him. He's in Gitmo.
With his cats.
Yeah, they let him bring his cats because they're compassionate conservatives. Actually, I'm filling in for Bill Buper tonight because he was originally scheduled to be on here and he couldn't make it. And then Michael called me a little bit after midnight and says, "Hey, Lou, no internet. You want to do the show?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." And so I'm filling in for Bill Buper and Michael Dean, and Nikki Darling is filling in for me. What's going on, Nikki?
Not much. I was just reading the Book of Faces and looking at all the interesting jabber that people post late at night.
The hamster on the Facebook page?
Yeah, there's a bunch of hamsters on the Facebook page.
How much coffee have you had tonight?
I just finished 16 ounces of bulletproof coffee.
Okay, so you have the small cup.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a high-capacity coffee mug. I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready to go. I'm not afraid to use it.
You are too funny, man.
Yeah, it's funny. It's completely banned in New York City, and Connecticut wants me to register it, but I'm not going to comply.
Oh, don't. Please don't.
If you're drinking decaf, you're shooting blanks.
Who drinks decaf? I mean, I guess people with heart conditions, but...
Well, people that drink decaf have a tendency to do the non-dairy creamer and the sugar substitute also.
I didn't know that. I do almond milk.
You know what? I tried that. I got the vanilla flavored, and what? It wasn't too bad, but...
It's kind of watery.
Yeah, it just didn't have that proper vanilla flavoring, so...
Yeah, well, I call my coffee the Power Man's coffee because I put butter and coconut oil in my coffee.
I have a lot of friends who do the coconut oil. I haven't tried that yet.
It's good. It'll give you energy.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. I guess I will have to try it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to thank Christopher for calling in and spending a couple segments with us talking about how we can bridge the gap. And now we're going to move on to some new topics. in the beginning of the show, I talked about how I have this libertarian microphone where I have to put a pre-1965 dime into the side of it to make it work because it's a libertarian microphone. And that is a reference to an article in the New Yorker magazine called The Libertarian Police Department. And do you have that up on your screen, Nikki?
Yeah, but maybe we should explain to anyone who doesn't know why pre-1965 dimes are better than our current dimes.
Okay, tell us, Nikki, why are pre-1965 dimes better than the subway tokens that we're given to use today?
Well, it's, 99% silver?
90.
90, okay, that's what I was going to, it's either 90 or 99, so. And now our dimes do not have any silver in them. They actually, what is it, they're copper in the middle?
I'm not even sure what it is.
Nickel-plated, maybe? I don't know. They're worthless. Just don't even worry about it, people.
Yeah, they're good for putting in a slingshot or something like that. Yeah. But not much else. Them.
I do save my pre-1982 pennies just in case copper is on the rise. And I've heard that when copper is on the rise, it usually means your economy is in decline. So I have big buckets of copper pennies.
Okay. Have you seen that meme out there? It talks about how in, I think it was 1963, the minimum wage was $1.25 per hour. And
if in quarters?
If you have five of those quarters, it has a melt value of about $25 today.
Yeah, that's great.
It's not minimum wage that needs to be fixed. It's money that needs to be fixed.
Oh, yeah. Inflation is what's getting us. But you tell that to people and they don't want to believe it or they don't get it. You know, if you use that whole, oh, well, bread would be $40 a loaf, you know, nobody wants to hear that.
Yep. Good old cognitive dissonance and the fine education system that the state indoctrination camps put people through. But anyway, let's get back to this silly article in the New Yorker. I thought it was kind of humorous. Most of the articles that troll libertarianism are really just off the wall. But I actually got a laugh on this. It's kind of ridiculous the different assertions that they make. But that's what happens when you're doing parody. But go ahead and read some of that for us, Nikki, if you would.
All right. So I'm not sure what the voice would be. Is it two cops sitting in a police cruiser? So I'll put on my cop voice. I was shooting heroin reading The Fountainhead in the front seat of my privately owned police cruiser when a call came in. I put a quarter in the radio to activate it. It was the chief. Bad news, detective. We got a situation. What? Is the mayor trying to ban trans fat again? Worse, somebody just stole $447 million worth of bitcoins. The heroin needle practically fell out of my arm. What kind of monster would do something like that? Bitcoins are the ultimate currency. Virtual, anonymous, stateless. They represent true economic freedom, not subject to arbitrary manipulation by any government. Do we have any leads? Not yet, but mark my words, we're going to figure out who did this and we're going to take them down, provided somebody pays us a fair market rate to do so. Easy, Chief. I said any rate the market offers is by definition fair. He laughed. That's why you're the best I got, Lazowski. Now you get out there and find those bitcoins. Don't worry, I said, I'm on it. Do we want to talk about that? Should I keep reading?
It's yeah, go ahead and read a little bit more.
I put a quarter in the siren. 10 minutes later, I was on the scene. It was a normal office building, strangled on all sides by public sidewalks. I hopped over them and went inside.
Wait, I gotta stop you. If this is actually libertarian paradise, what public sidewalks?
Well, technically, don't they call them public sidewalks because they are owned by the government?
Yeah, but in libertarian paradise, what public sidewalks?
No, yeah, you're right. There wouldn't be public sidewalks.
Yeah, and there'd be a toll booth every 10 feet where you'd have to put a pre-1965 dime or your bitcoins into the toll booth.
Well, that is a little absurd, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Home Depot presents The Police, and it's trademarked, and I said, flashing my badge and my gun and a small picture of Ron Paul, nobody move unless you want to. They didn't. Now, which one of you punks is going to pay me to investigate this crime? No one spoke up. Come on, I said. Don't you all understand that the protection of private property is the foundation of all personal or all personal liberty? It didn't seem like they did. Seriously, guys, without a strong economic motivator, I'm just going to stand here and not solve this case. Cash is fine, but I prefer being paid in gold bullion or autographed Penn Jillette posters. Nothing. These people were stonewalling me. It almost seemed like they didn't care that a fortune in computer money invented to buy drugs was missing. I figured I could wait them out. I lit several cigarettes indoors. A pregnant lady coughed, and I told her that secondhand smoke is a myth. Just then, a man in glasses made a break for it. Subway, trademarked. Eat fresh and freeze, scumbag, I yelled. Too late. He was already out the front door. I went after him. Stop right there, I yelled as I ran. He was faster than me because I always try to avoid stepping on public sidewalks. Our country needs a private sidewalk voucher system, but thanks to the incestuous interplay between our corrupt federal government and the public sidewalk lobby, it'll never happen.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is pretty good.
And for those of you that haven't read this article, you can go to thenewyorker.com and you can find it. And it's LPD, Libertarian Police Department. And we're going to talk about the article written in The Atlantic where it talks about the non-libertarian police department. And then we're also going to shoot some of these myths in the foot. And we're going to talk about how it really works in a situation where people need protection and they're not getting it from the government. They're not getting it from the police department. You know, all they're getting is road piracy, revenue generation, and kicking in doors and just massive, horrible, icky government stuff. Ugh, Feinstein, Schumer, McCain, Graham.
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court has already ruled that the police have no obligation to protect you.
Several times.
Yeah.
And most people don't realize that. They say, oh, but they're here to protect me.
No, they're just there to enforce laws.
Yep. They are not there to protect you. And the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince people he didn't exist.
Yeah. Well, I do love in this article how it goes back to product placement, as in, you know, getting funded by Subway in order to run your business or something. I actually agree with that completely. I think it's amazing.
So do I. And what you will find is that business is the reason that a lot of this stuff is available to you. And if we're in libertarian paradise, it is quite possible that, or quite likely, rather, that roads and a lot of these different things that we take for granted that can only be delivered by the government, you know, a lot of that would come as a result of private business.
Yeah, exactly. Where I live, we have a lot of so-called private roads. People think they're private because you have to pay tolls, but they're really like a cooperation between the government and private industry. It's just crony capitalism at its worst. And right now, they're extending the metro here all the way out to one of the Virginia airports. And it is 6 months behind schedule, and they keep saying that it's because of a computer glitch and they can't get it up and running, but they continue to spend millions of dollars each month on this project. And everybody's just like, okay, well, we'll just continue to let it happen. Everybody just rolls over.
Well, thank goodness we're not getting our monies, or we're not getting all the government that we're paying for. And we'll be right back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Michael Dean After Dark. This is Lou Sanderfine, and with me is Nikki Darling.
Howdy.
Howdy. Say something more than just howdy, Nikki. Go loud and boisterous and go off on a feisty libertarian rant.
I don't know what to rant about at 2:30 in the morning.
Well, yeah, I don't know. In the last segment, we were talking about the not-so-libertarian police department, which is basically just actual news reporting. But this time, we're going to talk about how it would actually happen in a lib pair.
That's a great idea.
And to give you a little background, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I am from Detroit, the failed state project. Detroit, much like Somalia, is a failed socialist state. And it's really messed up. The city filed for bankruptcy, but I don't think of the city filing for bankruptcy as a bad thing. I just think of it as a market punishing weakness, incompetence, inefficiency, and suckiness.
Yeah, so, but bankruptcy is not a free market tool.
Right, right. And it would be better if it just
dissolved.
suffer the economic death penalty. Yeah. But what most people want to do is they want to bail it out. And they want to start the cycle all over again. And, you know, it's like shampooing your hair. Lather, rinse, and repeat.
Yeah.
Now, let it screw up. Let it collapse. Bail it out. Let it screw up. Let it collapse. Bail it out. And it just never ends. But anyway, if there were a free market, this is how protection would work. You're familiar with Threat Management Center, right, Nikki?
The one in Detroit, yeah, I've read about it.
Okay, what all have you read about, and you know, what have you seen?
Well, from what I've read from people who have gone out there to interview them, is that it's pretty much like private security. And I'm not sure about the financial figures on that, but there was an example used of an elderly grandmother had to go back and forth to court to testify against somebody, and she used the Threat Management Center to protect her going back and forth because she was testifying against somebody who would want retribution. So I guess that's all I know about it, is that it's private security. And they're there 24 hours a day, whenever you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, and there's a lot more to it also.
Okay.
I heard about them from watching a video that was produced by copblock.org. And last fall on the Police Accountability Tour, Pete Ayer and Garrett Ean came out here, and there was an event down at Threat Management Center, and we were able to go in there and talk to the owner, Dale Brown, for about 3 hours. And let me tell you something, he can talk for 3 hours. But he basically explained how everything got started, and essentially it was him with a rifle and a dog, and he was patrolling neighborhoods and things like that. And in the New Yorker article, they talk about, oh, come on, somebody has to pay for this. Well, being that Threat Management Center is 100% private and it doesn't get any tax money or anything like that, you know, it kind of answers who's going to pay for it. And the customers do.
Yeah.
And not only do they, you know, not only will they provide security for businesses and everything else, but they also patrol neighborhoods. So they're actually going around and looking to stop crime.
Well, are they patrolling neighborhoods on the behest of the neighbors and they all put together their money and pay them, or are they just doing that out of charity?
Well, the customer base would be the people in the neighborhoods. So what you have are people that subscribe to these services.
Okay.
What you have are people that are paying their property taxes, although about half of the city of Detroit has stopped paying property taxes and just basically told the city to go pound sand. But you have people there reaching into their own pockets and paying additional money for security.
Okay. Now, how would that work if you're unable to pay?
Very good point. A lot of times there are neighborhoods on the periphery of these, and threat management, by being there, does provide this additional service. The fact that they drive through that area, or the fact that if they see something going on, you know, if they see somebody that's rather sketchy that's casing a vehicle or something like that, they might just take it on their own and help out. At least that's the impression that I got. And I'm not saying that they go and patrol the whole darn city, but the approach that they take to it is, look, if you got somebody sketchy that's looking in vehicles, like he's going to boost a car stereo or boost the car itself, they'll pull up and say, you know, this is a very dangerous neighborhood, and we would like you to know that we are concerned about your safety. So therefore, we're going to provide you free bodyguard service, and we're going to follow you around for the duration of your time in this neighborhood.
Nice.
And strangely enough, these people have a tendency to disappear and generally not come back.
Yeah, but I was trying to explain this to a family member the other day, and he said, oh, but what about the poor people? I mean, the poor people aren't going to be able to afford this, and they're going to be completely left out. And so I said to him, if I lived in a neighborhood and we had one or two neighbors that would be unable to pay, it would be up to some of the neighbors, if they wanted to voluntarily get together and help them out with their part of the fee.
Yeah, and that is how it works. Now, they have very, very low rates. Now, it might be on a per call basis where they might charge just a few bucks to come out if there's something going on. What's really important about the pricing mechanism is it causes people to economize their scarce resources. For example, somebody might call threat management if they got a bunch of people out in the street, out in front of the house that are getting ready to start a fight or getting ready to do this, that, or the other thing, whatever sort of sketchiness is going on. But what they're not going to do is call threat management because somebody has their stereo one notch higher than what that person thinks that it should be.
Exactly.
They're not going to call threat management because McDonald's ran out of Chicken McNuggets. You've seen those stories,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have to remind myself in this world that has actually happened.
That's the importance of the pricing mechanism. When you have to pay out of pocket, it makes you think to yourself, gee, do I really want to spend X number of dollars to complain about this completely meaningless thing that, you know, that I shouldn't freak out over?
Yeah, and last time I heard, the response time for the actual police in Detroit is like, what, an hour to 2 hours, when threat management would probably be within 5 minutes, you'd think?
Generally.
Yeah.
Generally. But they also do provide services to the poor, and because taking care of businesses and also the wealthier communities brings in enough revenue, they can afford to help out the poor.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe they had a sliding scale program or something.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you don't have to put a gun to somebody's head to get them to do good stuff. You know, yeah. Dale is very altruistic, and his way of doing things is he feels that everybody is better off if you don't have a bunch of thugs running around terrorizing the city.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. I think I'd be very scared to live in Detroit, but it's one of those situations where I'd want to be armed if I lived there.
Oh, definitely. I have lived in the city, and I do currently work there. And on my drive down there, it's really not so bad. I don't really worry too much about getting carjacked or anything like that. When I was living there, I definitely would like to be armed. But yeah. For the most part, I really don't worry about it. But then again, I'm also not going off into the really bad areas.
Yeah, I lived in a really bad neighborhood once, and where I live, you're not allowed to have guns. So I believe, you know, they changed the law recently. You can have like a shotgun in your house, but it can't be loaded. And so that doesn't help you at all. So I got a Rottweiler and that actually did help me, but I still was threatened with a gun numerous times. So your gun laws don't work, Mordor. They really don't.
What was the name of that gun-free neighborhood that you lived in? Was it Fort Hood?
No, it wasn't.
You know, it's amazing.
I shouldn't laugh at that, actually. That's kind of sad.
The stupidity is you have trained soldiers that are supposed to be trusted with firearms to go off and wave them at people in Iraq, Afghanistan, and all these other countries, but they're not trusted to have them to defend themselves here at home. What's up with that?
See, when I heard about that, I immediately thought this is a mental health issue. And it's not that people on bases can't be trusted with guns. I believe that there needs to be more of a conversation about war, tours of duty, and mental health, and unnecessary war causing mental health issues.
Yeah, because that soldier had reported PTSD and mental health issues and was seeking treatment. And I believe he also reported having TBI, traumatic brain injury.
Oh.
Yeah, the TBI is very, very common now because of the roadside bombs that they go off. And
yeah.
And they, when a Humvee gets hit, it doesn't kill the people, but it bounces their head around inside the Kevlar. And that's why you have such a larger number of these traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah, it's like a concussion. And, you know, when I heard this, it's sad to say that I wasn't even shocked. It's I want to be shocked by these things, but I'm not anymore. And I think it needs to open up a bigger conversation in this country about the cost of war.
Yep. If there, and I'm going to put on my min status dunce cap here. If there is going to be a war, it needs to be for defensive purposes. And these guys are in Iraq and Afghanistan kicking in doors. Now, none of those children that they got lined up against the wall are trying to affect anybody's right to vote or anything like that. They're not trying to take away freedom. But let's get back to Detroit. Threat Management System does provide bodyguard services for people that are referred by the prosecutor's office if they are dealing with domestic violence issues and a restraining order is put on the alleged perpetrator. Not that paper actually, you know, deters people from doing stuff.
Yeah.
They will provide free bodyguard service. They will escort people to trial, and they haven't lost a single person yet. As a matter of fact, something else about Threat Management System, their center, in 20 years, they have not been in court once, either civilly or criminally, for beating anybody up.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We're going to go off to market. We'll be back for the final segment where we'll wrap this up with a nice little bow and send everybody to sleep happy. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Welcome back to the final segment of Michael Dean After Dark. This is Lou Sanderfien, and I'm here with Nikki Darling.
Worms!
Wormies! And we're going to wrap this up in a nice little bow and send everybody to sleep happy. And let's go with a little tweak and review. What have we learned today, Nikki?
Well, we learned about satire, that a lot of people from many sides make fun of us, which is fun. And you talked about your Liberty Fest going on in Michigan, right?
Yep. It's going to be a good time. It's coming up this August. And for those of you that want to come, and particularly the people that are listening to this from Cairo, Illinois, you can go to miplc.org. Mike, India, Lima, Papa, Charlie.org.
I don't know how you do that. Were you in the military?
Yes, I was.
Ah, okay. What branch?
Army.
Ah, okay. All right. So, what else did we learn? We learned about ways to talk to others and to try to not convince them, but to show them that we're not the cold-hearted, selfish objectivists that they think we are.
Exactly. We can show them that we have the same goals, we just disagree on the methods.
Exactly.
And one of the things that I like to use, and I try not to beat people over the head too much with this up front, but looking at what the welfare system or the system in general has provided, and you take a look at the results, and the only thing that I can ask somebody is, well, how's that working out for you?
Yeah, I like to say that I may not have all the answers, but I just know that government is not the answer.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is, but this ain't it.
Yeah, and one thing I did want to mention is that I know you use the word status a lot, and I'm trying to eliminate that from my vocabulary just because I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it sets people off in the wrong way.
Yeah, well.
And I know you're a macho libertarian flasher, so.
And a violator of the non-agitation principle.
Yeah, I like that. And that's fine. I'm really trying not to say that word.
Well, the horizontal liberation has to come in multiple forms, in my opinion. You can have the soft, fuzzy people that say, well, hitting people is bad. And then you have the people, you know, with their little bit more macho libertarian flash that just say, don't hit other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that.
So, yeah, Christopher is going to be having his discussion group on the on how to bridge the gap between the lefty liberals, the right-wing conservatives, and the way up high libertarians. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can find some common ground on that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I wish somebody would bring that up as a panel discussion at Porkfest. That'd be interesting. But the only problem I have with panel discussions at Porkfest is that it's always your typical celebritarians. And I would like to see more just like folks that we haven't heard from sit down and talk about these sort of things.
Well, let's get together at Porkfest and have a panel discussion around a campfire.
Yeah, that would be great. Definitely.
What else did we learn today?
About threat management and how security and, you know, the justice system can be privatized.
Yes. And the key thing from the from those different articles that we saw was that the New Yorker satirizes libertarian paradise, and they get it wrong, because realistically you're not going to have to put a pre-1965 diamond as something that you already own.
Yeah.
And most likely if you're leasing it, then it will be all inclusive. Now, phones have unlimited minutes now, so do microphones.
Yeah, and a lease is a contract, and we definitely abide by contracts.
Yes. Yeah. And the Atlantic article points out the folly of the government police system, because what you have is a bunch of violence. What you have is a bunch of road piracy, revenue generation. And threat management shows that voluntary interaction can work, that people will voluntarily pay for these services.
Yep.
Okay, thanks for coming on, Nikki. And all you kitty cats, sleep tight tonight. The market will provide.
Meow.
Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.